planning on having you show the DVD. So anybody who wants to see their DVD after the service, please stay. I haven't even seen it yet. We've been meaning to watch it all week, and they got in Wednesday night, and we didn't get a chance to watch it, but I'm excited to have them around, and it's just been so fun having them back. And I hope you guys were as blessed by this as I was. It's interesting. We've been catching up all week on other stuff, but we actually haven't had the chance to hear that much about the mission. You know, when Chris says she's going to go to other islands, we're like, oh, that sounds great. We had no idea. So it's really fun to hear about it, and I really like it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Good morning, God. Happy Sabbath. We're excited to have a Sabbath with you. Live through us today. Live through me and my words. Let them be your words so that we may each just be brought closer to you. Amen. Now, contrary to popular belief, I did not make this sermon title in any reference to my pregnancy. I did not even think of that till everybody came up and, already? Your back's already hurting? And I had to have a little giggle because, no, I actually wasn't thinking of that at all. We will get to the point of the title in a little bit. But in the meantime, I want to talk to you guys about something that's just, it's been on my heart recently. As I talk to kids at the school and everything, it's something that I realize is a concept that often gets misunderstood. And it's a concept of what worship is. I spent, many of you know, and I think I talk about it a lot when I get a chance, I spent a year in Australia as a student missionary. And what was amazing when I was there was that I had some of the most worshipful experiences of my life, and they had nothing to do with church. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's true for many of you. There was one kid in particular who found out that I was a good ride for surfing in the morning before school. So he would call me up at like 6:30 in the morning or 6 in the morning. We're going surfing today. And I go pick him up and take him to the beach about 20 minutes away. But I never minded. Anybody else would not have been able to get me out of bed at that hour regularly, especially since a lot of the time we surfed, it was winter there, which is similar to winter here. So we're not talking freezing cold, but I mean, you know, Gary did a baptism at the beach a couple weeks ago. It wasn't like it's a pleasant place to be all the time. It's rather cold water. Even in the summer sometimes, I know a lot of times we get out to the beach and we're a little cold around here and no one gets in. So I was dragged out of bed every morning by a kid. And one of the main reasons I let him do this to me was because he had this amazing attitude towards God. He would get out there, and he wasn't just all about the surfing, although that was definitely a part of it. But I've seen a lot of surfers that get out there, and it's just all about catching the waves. Between sets, he would go underneath the water and look up at the sky in the water and then come up, you have to see this, it's so beautiful. And he would just be so excited about the beauty of nature that he was surfing in. It was on the east coast of Australia, so we get to be out there at sunrise regularly. And he just appreciated being out there in God's nature. And I just saw it in him so much, how much he worshiped through surfing. A 16-year-old kid. And it just was just amazing to me. And I had one other experience with the surf in Australia that was just incredible. Their camp meeting that they do out there, they call it Big Camp. And they go to this big tent area. They do it still in tents and everything. And it's right on the beach, and it's called Yarra Happini is the name of this place. And you can just walk straight to the beach from there. You spend they do a full 10-day camp meeting. It's huge. Everybody goes. Well, one of the last days we were there, me and a bunch of my friends went down to the beach first thing in the morning. We're all like in our pajamas, as you do when you're in college and don't really care. And so we're walking down there in our pajamas, and it's morning, and we've got blankets wrapped around us, and we're sitting on the beach, when suddenly one of our friends, Trent, he just gets up and walks into the water. And pretty soon we all joined him, in our pajamas or jeans or whatever we were wearing, no swimsuits at all, didn't bring towels with us, nothing like that, totally soaked in the waves. And we formed a circle and held hands and had prayer. And it was really funny because if your eyes were closed, you get knocked by the waves every now and then and not expected, or you'd be in the middle of a word and suddenly there's water over you. But at the same time, it was a spontaneous moment of worship. No one talked about it. No one planned it. It wasn't this organized, let's go to the beach and have worship. It came from somewhere inside of us. And it was absolutely amazing. I was looking at the concept of worship in the Bible. And there's a whole bunch of different words in the Hebrew and Greek and all these different things that mean worship. And I was kind of trying to find a central theme, and I found one commentary that I thought said it amazingly well. It says, the worship of God is nowhere defined in Scripture. A consideration of all the verbs used shows that it's not confined to praise. Broadly, it may be regarded, okay, so it's not just praise, it may be regarded as a direct acknowledgement to God of his nature, attributes, ways, and claims. So it's an acknowledgement of who God is, either by the outgoing of the heart in praise, so praise is a part of it, and thanksgiving, praise and thanksgiving, or by deed done in such acknowledgement. Praise and worship aren't about coming to church and singing, or just even just talking to God about who God is. It's recognizing who God is, telling him about it, and living it. And that's what all the, if you take all the verbs that mean worship in the Bible, that's what they imply. I thought that was pretty cool. So thinking about the praise aspect, I thought about the word praise, and we use that here. We have our praise team, and we know that that's our music time. So I thought I'd look to the Psalms, because the Psalms are known for praise. So I want you guys all to get out your pew Bibles. I don't have it on the PowerPoint. And open up to the Psalms. Now, if you're not familiar with opening up a Bible, if you take it and open it in half, most of the time, you'll open up to Psalms. I didn't just now, but hey. It's almost smack in the middle of the Bible. If you didn't open it like that, flip back and forth, you'll get it there pretty quick. It's a pretty easy book to find. So many of the Psalms are dedicated to praise. So I started looking at the different aspects of worship and praise in the Psalms. And I found it amazing. So I started splitting it up into a few different categories. So for starters, I want to look at age and location. What is appropriate? What is the appropriate age and place to praise and worship God? Now, once again, I'm not talking about you have to break out into song all the time. We just said it's a way of acknowledging who God is through telling God and through living it. Psalms 8:1, actually, I'll go to Psalms 8:2. You don't have to flip there just yet. I'll tell you. Psalms 48, I'm getting there if you want to get there. Psalms 8:2 says, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. From the lips of children and infants. And infants. I actually find it a little too quiet in here today. I miss our children and infants. I like the difference that they make when they participate in church in their own way. And I know sometimes it can drive us nuts, but I'll take that any day over silence. God asks for the children and infants to praise him. Psalms 45:17 tells us, I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. Always praising through all generations. And then let's look at Psalms 48, because I just find it just works so well for age and place to worship God. I actually didn't mean 14. Psalms 48, I believe, but starting with verse 1, sorry. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, and the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Praising God in the city is the first thing there. Verse 3 says, God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. God is everywhere there. Within your temple, of course it's appropriate to praise God in church. We meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. The ends of the earth. Sometimes it actually is very hard being away from Matthew and Cariz. We're very close to them. And the comfort of knowing when they're going through these rough times, when there's sickness with them, when we can do nothing to help them, we know that God reaches to the ends of the earth. There is no appropriate age or location. More correctly, there is no inappropriate age or location to worship God. Why do people worship God? Psalm 56 says, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" I hear a lot of pages turning. It may be hard to keep up. I'm going to go all over the place in the Psalms, but I'll tell you when there's one you really need to look up. All right. "What can mortal man do to me?" I love that. "In God I trust." God gives us safety and comfort. People can do nothing to us with God on our side. And then you can go ahead and turn to Psalm 68. I think this is so beautiful as why we serve God. Psalm 68:4. I'm hearing pages turn, so I'm going to wait until I. All right, we're getting there. It says, "Sing to God, sing praise to his name. Extol him who rides in the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him." Just because he's God is what that says right there. Just praise his name. As Gary likes to tell us a lot, Pastor Gary, his name, his character. We praise God for who God is. And then it goes on to, I love how it starts with who God is, and then goes on to what he does for us. He is a father to the fatherless. Appropriate for Father's Day. A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. He sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. I just think that's so beautiful. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. People who feel alone, who don't have someone with them, says God is their defender. God is their father and their husband. It's just so beautiful. We praise God for who he is and what he does, but it has to start with who God is. But what I really want to focus on this morning is something we get stuck on a lot, and that is the when and the how of praising God. We have our times, you pray before meals. Sometimes we have family worship when we're not too busy for it, right? And then Sabbath comes, and we'll come to church on Sabbath, and that's when we praise God and worship God. I want you guys all to get ready. We'll get there now, and then I'll get to it in a minute. Turn to Psalms 103. And then I'll get to it in a minute. So I was looking through the Psalms about when to praise God. And I just love it because David mentions so many different times. "On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night." Another one says, "It is good to praise the Lord, to make music to your name, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night." Another psalm says, "Seven times a day I praise you for your righteous laws." See, all the time. All the time it's time to praise God. And then we get stuck on this how. What's appropriate for praise music in church? What's appropriate for singing to God? We get stuck on this how. And yet, I think we miss the point. So let's read through this psalm, and let's get to the point. It says, here, if you guys all have turned to Psalm 103, and those of you using Pew Bibles, you should have an NIV. Those with an NIV, I think this is exactly what this is. So, read with me Psalms 103. Let's read verses 1 through 6. "Praise the Lord," read with me, "O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion. He who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Isn't that beautiful? I have more to add. We're going to get through there. Another psalm says, let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with a tambourine and the harp. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals.
But in 103 that we just read, where does it start? Praise the Lord. Who? Oh, my soul. See, David mentions so many different ways of praising God, with dancing, with the harp, with the cymbal. But it doesn't start with how. It starts from where it comes from, in your soul. Because if you're not worshiping God within you, then the rest doesn't matter. It's not worship. No matter what comes out of your mouth, if it's not what's within you, then it's not really worship. Worship isn't about a style. I'll give you a cheesy phrase that I came up with, but it'll stick with you. Worship isn't about a style. It's a lifestyle. Got that? Worship is not a what? Style. It's a lifestyle. Okay? The Jews, have you guys ever heard of the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall in Jerusalem? It's a wall, it's the Western Wall of the Old Temple. It's actually the second temple that was built and was it was the one that was destroyed after in about 70 AD. And it's a place, how many of you have even had the chance to travel to Israel and see it there? I got the chance to do it, and it's the most amazing thing. And you get to go, and there's this wall that the Jews come to pray to God. And they stick little prayers in, into the wall that they're praying for. And I noticed when I was there that most of the Jews who were there would have their prayer book open, or their, you know, the Jewish Bible, and they would do this thing that I'd never seen before. As they were reading, they would do this. And they'd mumble the words, so praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name, over and over again. And I looked up a little bit about what that means. Now, what that's called in Yiddish is shokling, which I may not be pronouncing it right, but that's what it's called. And there are a lot of theories out there as to why they do it. But I found one that I thought was just beautiful. One rabbi said, the reason we do that is because our soul is a flame, and that flame has to move and dance when it comes into contact with God. So it's this idea of a flame flickering before God in praise and worship as they read. Their soul responding to God. Isn't that beautiful? I find that so beautiful. I wish we always responded like that. We just read a part of Psalm 103, and it talks about the different reasons we praise God. For who he is, for what he does. The very end of that psalm, or towards the end of that psalm, if you look, verse 20. Sharon read that for us this morning. Verse 20 says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. The angels get to praise God. Praise the Lord, all heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I just think that is such a beautiful concept. See, when we talk about an appropriate place to worship God, appropriate way to worship God, we are often missing the point of where does worship come from? See, we have these times that we set aside. This is God time, and this is the rest of the time. But if you read through the Psalms, you realize that worship isn't about this is this time and this is this time, but it comes from within your soul all the time, every day. David said 7 times a day. That's not setting an appropriate time to have prayer. It's saying throughout the entire day, through the watches of the day as they used to have, God is there. Now, we have busy lives. I know that's one of the biggest problems, challenges facing the Christian church today, is how insanely busy our lives have been. And the idea of the guilt of not spending enough time with God, of not doing enough for God, just piles on top of our busyness and just stresses us out. And that's not what God wants. See, God doesn't want to be more on top of your day. He wants to live within your day, before each thing. before everything you do, God says, hey, I want to do that with you. I want to be a part of that with you. School, friends, work, home, arguments. God says, hey, I want to be there. Can I be there with you? I may not like how you do everything, but I want to be a part of it and help you grow even more all the time. Are we willing to put aside our arguments and our thoughts about how and when and why praise and worship and focus on who we're worshiping and that the worship is from within us and let God live through us every day and we can be the people God called us to be, one as he and the Father are one? Are we ready to do that, to look through the Bible and see that God wants us, wants our true heart of worship to really come through in everything we do? If God comes through in everything we do, everything else will fall into place. And it's just a beautiful concept to think of God in each thing we do. I want to close now with a short prayer, but I'm going to have a time of silence for you to think about, is there an area in your life that you haven't been letting God into? Pray about that and talk about how, and think with God how you can bring God into each area of your life. Not to add busyness on top of it, but to let God join in, and your life will be so much better. Let's have a moment of silent prayer. Lord, we mess up a lot, and sometimes our guilt keeps us from coming to you. But you have told us that we are already forgiven, and that you just desperately want to hang out with us and spend time with us. Please, live through each of us. Let us invite you into our lives every moment and every day so that we're experiencing everything with you and not against you. Thank you, God, for your love, for your eternal patience, and for all that you've done for us. Amen.